Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. He's speaking to us from Florida, from Delray Beach. How did you guys do with Milton coming to visit?
Actually, I'm in West Palm Beach. Though we like going down to Delray for the fantastic restaurants. But we're fine. All we had in our yard was some, our neighbors had some large palm trees, so the branches landed in our yard. No big deal. We have a friend whose house was hit by a tornado. It ripped the power connection out of the outside of their house, so they aren't going to have power for a while. And also put a branch through their roof, so they're going to have to get a new roof. But I mean, all things considered, things could have been much worse. I have friends living in other neighborhoods around there, and the pictures they're posting, nothing bad happened to them, but there are cars turned over and stuff like that. So I mean, there were 114 active tornado warnings in Florida during the storm. That's a lot for any place. And we were having tornadoes. Really, people were saying these are the kind of things, these huge tornadoes that you normally see in a place like Texas. You know, normally our tornadoes aren't that big. So it was really more that than the storm for us. I mean, I do have a daughter in Tampa. She was fine. I have a mom in Venice, Florida. She was fine. Those towns were right in the path of the storm, and they still get through okay. I know, however, not everyone did. There was a stadium that lost its roof. There are homes that got hurt by all that tornado action, and some people got hurt by the storm surge, just not people I know personally. So, I mean, there's a lot of damage, but already insurance companies are rallying because though there was damage, it's not as bad as they thought. So now the insurance companies are rebounding. Because, you know, this storm was not as bad. I think the previous hurricane shocked everyone and made everyone realize that the worst possible outcome can happen sometimes, you know. But this one, at least it seems so far, isn't as bad as it could have been.
Well, very pleased to hear that. It's always... and they said people obeyed the evacuation orders because they saw what happened to the people who didn't evacuate when Helene came in.
Yeah. You know, I mean, well, it's certainly a very tough call. It's a personal call. I know that I couldn't have gotten my mom out of her place in Venice with dynamite if I'd wanted to. So I just wished her the best and, like, kept her in my thoughts. Because if she's not going to go, she's not going to go. You know, but then she's 85. So that's just the way she feels. And also she has a boyfriend to look after. Well, you know, yeah, right. Romance. Romance overruled everything.
He's got an airboat. He can get me out.
Yeah.
No, actually, he ended up in the hospital, but it was for something else. Anyway, she texted me from the hospital this morning letting me know that, like, she was fine. Dan was in the hospital. He'd fallen down, had trouble with his legs, but he's an old dude, you know, so, you know, that kind of thing happens. And it wasn't hurricane related. So, but I mean, I know people in emergency services that are working 24-hour shifts right now. This thing was no joke. It really was not. And no one should shrug this off either. We should just count ourselves lucky if, like, we actually lucked out. There are some people who've had their homes destroyed. No luck for them. And I'm really sorry for them. But it really could have been much worse for the state as a whole.
Well, Ontario, Canada sent 150 electrical workers down Florida to help out.
That's nice. Yeah.
You'll notice the power poles fixed up by them because the insulators are Molson Canadian cans.
I was just going to say that. Oh, God.
Well, they're actually the bottles because they don't conduct electricity. Molson Export. They're green. They're the green bottle. Sean.
Or else Carling Black Label is what I was thinking of. But yeah.
Well, that's for the tornado damage. They separate the wind and tornado damage and water damage by the different colored beer bottles.
Yeah.
On the stock market, is it behaving the way you thought it might? Because once you get into October, that's always the month people worry about.
Yeah, well, certainly we keep hitting new highs, you know, so I'm not going to worry that much. We hit a new high in the S&P 500 yesterday. We could hit a new high today. There was disappointing CPI news today. So people thought that would send the market lower. And while stocks have pulled back a little bit, they're well off their lows. Meanwhile, you have things like gold going up. And right now the market's pricing in that despite the fact that the consumer price index was a little hot, the market's pricing in an 89% chance of a 25 basis point cut when the Fed next meets on November 7th. So, I think the market's actually feeling okay about things. And one thing that I find very interesting is I think there should be election uncertainty hanging over the market. That is, there are going to be very different policies in place if all depending on who is elected, right? But when I talk to both Republicans and Democrats, they're both very convinced that their candidate is going to win. I mean, I haven't talked to anybody who thinks their candidate's going to lose. Somebody's wrong. So does that mean that there'll be election disappointment after the election? I don't know, though I am also expecting that no matter what the election result is, there's going to be litigation, which means this could actually drag on for quite some time. So, but it just, odd to me, I would think there'd be more election uncertainty in the market, and I'm not seeing it right now. I'm actually seeing a market that's pretty comfortable with how things are going, even though earnings forecasts are coming down. So, go figure.
On gold, are gold miners in the mix?
Yeah, I mean, gold miners have been channeling higher. They just hit the bottom of the channel, and they're moving higher. Now, part of this has to be the expectation we're going to have more rate cuts. I had a column on this for Weiss Ratings Daily a couple of weeks back that there's going to be a lot of rate cuts coming. That's what's priced in anyway. Whether it actually happens doesn't really matter at this time. What I'm talking about is perceptions. And when we've had these long rate cut cycles before, that's been very good for the price of gold, and I think that's kind of being reflected in the price of gold right now in that it's resilient. It sells off, and then it comes back. Gold miners haven't really been getting the oomph you'd expect from the strength in gold, but that should come along sooner or later. So I think that, gold is a place to be. I need to see gold miners themselves head higher. You know, they kind of bottomed out, but they need to head higher. If they head higher, then I'm probably going to pick up on a couple more positions that I want to own. You know, I gradually add new positions to the portfolios on pullbacks. So we have had a pullback. We are coming up to a buying opportunity. One other thing people might want to look at is what's going on with the crude oil. I mean, Israel has vowed that it's going to pound the paste out of Iran. And that's not reflected in the price of oil right now. I mean, when you look at it, Iran, depending on what happens, Iran could, if it was really feeling threatened, block off the Straits of Hormuz, and about a third of the world's oil goes through that strait. So you would think that the price of crude oil would be higher than it is right now. It's not. And if things really spiral out of control conflict-wise over in the Middle East, that brings, say, the Saudi oil facilities into play, because Iran hates Saudi Arabia almost as much as it hates Israel. So missiles could be flying all over the place. So that's not really priced in, and I'm really kind of surprised on that. That said, you know the kind of oil stocks that I like to put my subscribers into are ones that pay dividends, so we can afford to be patient. We're being paid to wait. Doesn't really matter. I do think we'll see higher oil prices in the next year, that's for sure. If not a round trip to $100 or so, then at least up in the mid-90s.
We'll have more with Sean Broderick right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Sean Broderick. Sean, what's going on with high-tech stocks?
Well, the ones we own are doing very well. Recently, we got back into NVIDIA again. I was tallying it up. Over the past couple of years, we've taken gains in that stock 6 times. And the last 2 times we took gains was over 100%, like 130 or something like that. So that's that. So we're in it again. What seems to be happening is even though the general public, the general investing public, seems to have cooled its anticipation of AI, it's not as like just not throwing money at all the AI stocks the way they were before. If you look at what's happening with these stocks themselves, a certain select few, it's incredibly bullish. I mean, the CEO of NVIDIA said that demand for their new chip was going to be, quote, insane, unquote. And I think they're sold out of that new chip for months to come. There are other stocks that feed into that that are doing incredibly well. We are trying to ride the AI leverage part of the market, but it's not just the chip makers, and it's not just those companies that have, software programs that create dragons for you or Orals, whatever. It's things like cybersecurity, defense, really big into drone stocks because they're equipping drones with AI, which makes them absolutely terrifying now and also incredibly effective. And I wouldn't want to be on the battlefield with those things. That's for goddamn sure. So I think that that AI is really getting its second wind, even as the broad investing public cools on it, which is fine. You know, I mean, things can run higher before the investing public realizes, hey, you know, these things aren't done, and then they start to throw money at it. So we're doing pretty well with our AI and tech stocks, but some aren't in things you would think of as AI. It's just I like their leverage to their industry because of AI. It really enhances what they do, their business, that kind of thing. So, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff going on there.
Uranium, is it still hot?
Well, it's hotter than it was. It seems to have bottomed, you know, and uranium stocks. Well, actually, I have some uranium stocks that are up today. It's a split ticket today. You know, some of them don't look so good, but a lot of them really do. Generally, they are well off their lows, so that's good. You know, I mean, when you look at the way Cameco has come off the low it hit in, early September, I mean, it's a huge move. Of course, that's going to cool for a bit, but it seems to be putting in a bull flag. So if I was going to do something, I might pick up some Cameco if I didn't already own it. We already own it, so I don't care. We'll just wait and see how things work out. Looks good to me. Longer term, I think that the story in uranium is extraordinary, extraordinarily bullish, and not just uranium miners. Remember, uranium has to be processed into fuel, and then there are companies that have contracts with the government to do all sorts of stuff with nuclear power, and now they are trying to be the first to market with these small modular reactors as well. So there's just a lot of potential in that whole industry. I don't think you want to call it a sector. Yeah, let's stick with industry for now. So things I think look really good there. Just remember, it's a small, small market, and it can be affected by things like what happens in Kazakhstan. Now, if Kazakhstan recently lowered its production output for 2025. And I checked. They've lowered their production output year after year for like 6 years in a row or something. I have to go back and look up the official stat. That just stunned me. Things are not going well in Kazakhstan. Not for the people that want to pull uranium out of the ground. There's been a bunch of things really holding them back. And, of course, that's like a major supplier of uranium to the world, which is quite bullish for those that can fill the gap. And then you have the U.S. government and other Western governments throwing money at this industry because they don't want to be reliant on Russia. And things look good. So I like uranium stocks. We own uranium stocks. We'll probably add more, just not right now. But I can definitely see some bullishness ahead there.
Sean, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on?
Defense stocks. There is a thing called the war cycle. I've been writing about this for my subscribers for quite some time. It's shifting into higher gear. If anything, I would say we're in a low-grade World War III, where everyone is involved in these conflicts, whether they want to be or not, simply because the equipment they make gets used by other people. So even if you're not trying to send weapons to a country, they're using your technology anyway. And the more automated these weapons become, the more robots are used, the more AI is used, the more drones are used, the more that happens, the easier it is for wars to happen because you aren't risking human life. You're just having like a eyeball-to-eyeball showdown with people and you're throwing machines at them and seeing who can win. So that just raises the odds of it. Then we have things like scarce resources, other stuff coming into play. Definitely keep your eye on defense. There are some smaller defense stocks. I'm not saying small cap, but smaller defense stocks that definitely have the potential to get larger. And, of course, the large ones, they have the government gravy train that just keeps them rolling. I mean, you can look at a stock like, say, Boeing, which has done everything wrong, and if it wasn't a defense stock, would probably be folded up and like thrown in the garbage. But because it has those defense contracts, you know, that really is an underlying support for the stock, no matter how poorly it's managed. So if that's what a bad stock can do, imagine what a good stock can do. So I would also keep an eye on defense as well.
Sean, thank you so much for chatting with us. And thankfully, Milton did not visit in a severe way.
Yes, I am really happy about that. Now I have all these hurricanes next to get through, though, so we'll see how it goes.
My guest has been Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. If you have any questions for Sean or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.